Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially kicking off season four of our show today with you all here. So thank you for joining us. We also have an exciting guest joining us in a little while. We have Trey Smith's older lovely sister, Ashley Smith, joining us here in about 20 minutes or so. But before that, we just wanted to kind of dive into some of the Chiefs news that's been going on around with some extensions and training camp kicked off today. So with that, I'm your host, Lexi.
Man, I'm Jody. It has been a long time since we've been on this platform, and I am so excited to be back. This is where it all started, and this platform just, it means so much to me and Lexi, and going live on here, and I don't think we've been live on this platform since like what?
Since the draft, since April.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I know that's not a long time, but that's a long time. So it's like, I miss being here.
It's a lot. Me too.
It started. It's our, like, this is
our
home.
Roots. It's our roots.
Like, this is home. So I even had like a little bit of butterflies when you hit the music.
Uh-huh, I know. I'm like, okay, let's figure this out.
So no, I'm very happy to be back on the Tuesday show. I have missed it here. And it's great to be home. Even though we love our Arrowhead Attic family, we love them real deep.
We do. They're fantastic over there.
Yeah, fantastic. We love you here too. This is great. So, no,
this is like our baby. This is our baby over here, and then that's
our child.
Yeah.
We're gonna get a cake, light some candles, do all the things. Very happy to be here though. So, lots of things have happened. Today is the first day of training camp. Now, granted, the boys are in t-shirts and shorts, and we love to see that. And there was a lot of great footage that went out today. We're not going to dive too much into training camp today because we will have our show on Arrowhead Attic tomorrow. So we'll dive all into day two and day one of training camp tomorrow. So can't wait. But like Lexi said, some big things have happened in the last week. Week?
Yeah.
Has it only been a week?
It's only been a week. Right? It's crazy.
Some great things have happened. I think the contract that we're about to talk about, though, right now, I think this is the one that kind of caught me off guard. Like, I wasn't expecting this. So it 100% caught me off guard. But George Karloftis, he got his payday, right? So we have talked to y'all several times about that 2022 class and how great they are and how much amazingness is going to come from them and all of these guys who are going to be due for money coming up into this very next season. They'll all be due next year. And I think that everybody thought that Trent McDuffie was going to get done this year. So to see George Karloftis getting his big payday, that's something kind of great to see. So just kind of going over a little bit of his details. I don't want to say that he took a team friendly deal. I think he took a deal that
I'd say it's like semi team friendly.
I think it was a deal that aligns very well with like where he is at based
it
off
does.
Of defensive ends in his class, not even necessarily
yeah,
in his class.
Yeah.
Who he's going against, right?
Like, and he's like he made it very clear. He spoke to the media today after camp and he made it very clear that this is where he wants to be. Like, he loves playing here, obviously. He loves his teammates. Like, this is his home. Absolutely. This is where he wants to be. So he's like, let me get this out of the way now. And then, yeah.
Absolutely. So George Karloftis got a nice little payday, 4 years, $80 million, which is going to break down to about $20 million average per year, which again, that's I think for his production level, that's very on trend.
He has
guaranteed $52 million, which is kind of insane. Now, you will say, what were you about to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, well, he has 24 and a half sacks over his first three seasons. And then not to mention, he's already tied or he's ranked second for the most postseason sacks in Chiefs history right now. Ranked second, just under Frank Clark. So
correct. Now, here's one thing that I think like a lot of people need to kind of remember too. Like, George Karloftis is next to Chris Jones. Like, he's next to Chris Jones, right? So while Chris and George both are taking all kind of double and triple teams, I don't think people realize the production level that George has that's making a true impact game after game. He's getting in the way. He's getting those batted balls. He's hitting the quarterback. He's doing all of these things to be disruptive in his role.
Correct.
He's being disruptive and Chris Jones is getting a sack, or Chris Jones is being disruptive and George Karloftis is getting sacked. So I think, or even Charles Omenihu, if you even want to bring him into the picture, because these guys kind of play all over the line. So it's really important to kind of remember that, yeah, a lot of people aren't happy with George's sack numbers, but that's how you could tell that there's a lot of people who are just box score watching, not actually watching the game to see how disruptive he is actually being.
Yeah. It's actually, I'm going to find a stat really quick. He like leads the league in, I think, quarterback pressures on from the edge. Hold on, I got to find it real quick.
Sorry, you're looking. And I'll
there's like three different things he leads in.
So with that being said, I'm very happy that the Chiefs went ahead and got George done now. Because here's the thing, that market value is going to go up, right? There's guys like Aiden Hutchinson who are going to have to get paid. There's
I did find it. Last two postseasons, he has 7 sacks, which is most in the NFL. 23 quarterback pressures, most in the NFL. 15 quarterback hits, most in the NFL. Like, if you can't see the value in that, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. And so, again, there's a big difference between watching a box score and actually watching the game week after week.
Right.
I think it also helps that he has been very healthy, knocking on the finest wood that is next to me. But he's been pretty healthy the whole entire time that he's
right.
Been
yeah, let me knock wood, too.
And I think people need to also kind of realize, too, that Chris Jones will not be here forever. And this may be his successor, right? So why would you not want to put George Karloftis and Chris Jones together for as long as life can be? And then when CJ rides off on his horse into the wherever and on the beach into his sunset, George Karloftis can continue to start fostering that same relationship with someone else who we bring in, which we've kind of already seen some of these guys come in. So very excited for George, more than deserved. And again, had this contract have come next year, people would have really been upset that he would have been overpaid based off of his production value. So shout out to Brett Veach for going in and getting the job done, because getting ahead of it and making sure that you're staying financially responsible for your books, that's very smart.
And Veach is really getting into his own, where he's really paying his guys that, you know, delivered – that were his draft picks. So I think it just shows that if you perform and Veach drafts you, he will pay you. So,
and I think it's also important to note that, think about all these defensive guys who've been like getting signed here lately too. Spags wants his guys. Spags signed another contract to be here for another 2 to 3 years. So if he's going to be here, he wants to make sure that he has his guys with them. And now I know it's kind of hard because Spags, all of the guys are his guys. Well, you got to think about it.
Yeah.
Like everybody is his
guy. Right.
Everybody is his guy. But he definitely has his handful of guys who he's like, I know I want this person to be here with me for the long run, blah, blah, blah. So excited about that. Let's kind of talk about Trent McDuffie for a little bit, though, because we just got a little bit of time. So a lot of people were thinking that Trent was going to be the one who was going to get signed this go round, right? Everybody's like, Trent McDuffie, which we're going to talk about Trey Smith, but they got Trey done. Okay, right. Now you got to work on Trent, right? Like, that is technically the next domino that needs to fall, which Chiefs Kingdom's not wrong. I mean, if you listen to Chiefs Kingdom and you listen to all of the analytics and all of the media and all of everybody, they're absolutely correct. Trent McDuffie is a guy that you want to have on this team for your foreseeable.
Oh, absolutely.
So
without question,
Trent didn't get done. So now everybody's kind of like, well, what does that mean? Are we going to trade him? Right. And I have my thoughts about it. I want to hear your thoughts about it, but okay, George Karloftis, not Trent.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, I think a lot of people had the fear of like, oh, if we pay George, we're definitely not paying both, or we're definitely not paying Trent or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's the total opposite. I think it was really important to get George done at a good time and a good deal, where he's still getting his value. But like you said, it's not next offseason. It's not going to break the bank in that way. So I think there's still, from like the talks around, or that they're still really hopeful to get Trent McDuffie done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he's going to be worth every penny. It is going to reset the market, but I think you do. I mean, you play the payers you want, and you kind of make the cap work to your advantage. And there's ways to manipulate the cap. And if you want that player enough, you're going to figure out how to manipulate the cap to do that. So we've seen the Eagles do that for years. We saw the Saints do it a long time ago when they were in their Super Bowl era. So I think getting Trent done, I think, should be the highest priority next. And I think if you can do it this offseason, you do.
Yeah.
I
mean, how much more? So this is my fault because I haven't had time to sit down and be Brett Veach, okay? I haven't time to sit down and go look at the books and see how many dollars we got. I know with signing Trey, that gave us like an additional $20 million, which clearly went towards George Karloftis. But now I need to see what that frees up. I don't even know how many dollars we have left. Now, but even a lot of guys...
Well, the thing is with Trent and George is that they still have their fifth-year options, so that they're still playing on. So their cap hits won't even hit until 2027. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So once we get Trent done.
Yeah. We got to get it done.
But. We got to get Trent done first. Now, I'll say this. In my mind, I knew trade was going to happen, and then I was like, okay, Trent. I'm like Chiefs Kingdom. I was like, okay, we're going to do Trent next. I thought that if we did Trent this year, we might not do George next year because he may have an outstanding year. It's kind of like Trent McDuffie. Mm-hmm. We know he's going to have a ton of upside this year. We know what his productivity is going to be. If this team does get to another Super Bowl this year and they do get a third ring, is George Karloftis going to outprice himself for the Chiefs? That was my mindset.
Right.
I was like, you know what? It's a very high possibility that a lot of people think George is going to have anywhere between 14 and 16 sacks this season. I think he's going to have between like 10 and 11, just being very transparent and honest.
Right. I think like 10 to 13 range.
I think he'll have double-digit sacks, right?
Yeah, so for sure.
Him having another season of having double-digit sacks is enough to put him, to outprice him for maybe what Veach will want to pay for him. And then I think if you look at it that way, you look at his production over the last four seasons, people would be like, no, he's not worth the dollar amount that it could be for next year.
Right.
So I actually love that we were able to figure out a way to get George done now and not later, because I do think next season he would have outpriced himself and there's no way that we could have got it done. However, with Trent McDuffie, the corner market is a little bit insane right now. Trent's going to easily get well over 30 and a half. He may get close to 31, 31 and a half next year, depending on what his season looks like. Trent, he already made the NFL top 100 list, which is still ongoing for some strange reason.
It's the longest, most dragged out list of all time.
The longest list I've ever seen in my life. And I feel like they're only on like 81. Like I think
they're in like the 70s now, but
that's great because I stopped looking.
I randomly saw like I think like Frankie Louvu from the Commanders was ranked like 70 something. And I'm like, how is he over Trent and Creed? Okay.
Exactly.
Whatever. That's why this list is so.
Y'all got it.
Yeah.
Y'all got it.
Sure.
He already made the top 100 list. Him and Creed are already on there. So one, that's just a notch that Trent can put in his belt now. Two, he's definitely going to be an All-Pro again this year. Last year, he was second-team All-Pro. I definitely think he'll make first-team All-Pro this year. He'll probably be a Pro Bowl candidate again this year. Hopefully, we don't make it to the Pro Bowl. So that's not even including.
Still to say you made it is good. But
you need to say that you made it because that all matters in contract negotiation.
Exactly.
To be able to at least have those things in your belt. And I mean, even if Trent has the half the amount of picks that he had last season, just half, even if he has that this season too, those are all things that are just lining up for him to get to be the highest paid. And if you've learned nothing about the Chiefs and Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Spags, they want their guys to be the highest paid at their position because of their productivity and what they have done over the last several years being on
right. And they've
leading us to a dynasty.
Yeah. I mean, they've more than earned their paydays. So yeah. You gotta pay up at some point. And I'm glad that Clark Hunt is doing that. You know, he's not always the most he's not the best at spending, but he's coming to realization that like we are a dynasty and you've got to pay them. So
it's giving we're gonna be at Arrowhead for a very long time because they're paying so many guys out right now.
Right. Yeah. So
it's giving we're absolutely gonna be there.
Keep your stadium and pay your guys. I don't know.
Your guys are gonna continue to play there forever. So kind of love to see that. The only other Chiefs news I kind of want to talk about, which I guess is not necessarily Chiefs news, but Tyrann Mathieu retired today.
Oh, yeah.
So that actually caught me way off guard because Tyrann mm-hmm. had a good season last year with the Saints. And maybe that's why Justin Reed went there, right?
He did. Yeah.
And then Tyrann Mathieu left.
I was actually excited to watch them. I was excited to watch him and Justin Reed play together.
You know what? Like, this is messy. Okay, wait. I'm having the light bulb just went off right now about how messy this is. So Tyrann Mathieu left the Chiefs. Justin Reed came in, right? Tyrann uh-huh. Mathieu went to the Saints. Well, Justin Reed went to the Saints, and now he's retiring. Do you think that they were thinking Justin was going to take Tyrann's spot?
I don't know. Maybe it's like in case he did, like maybe they had an inkling that he would retire and they're like, let's get another vet in here, another Chiefs vet in here.
But why? Because Tyrann was healthy last season, right?
Mm-hmm. I think he's been pretty healthy. I'm sure he has here and there things, but.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was healthy last season. He had like 4 interceptions last year. Didn't he have
he's a great player. He's a great leader. I'm sorry. I didn't keep up with the Saints as much last year didn't, but.
Right. So he definitely had like, I'm almost positive a pick six. He had like 4 picks, like interceptions. I'm just like, what? So to see him retire, it just caught me off guard because I thought that he was I thought he had a good enough year last year to where he could have played at least another 1 or 2 seasons. So there must be something else maybe internal going on there that nobody knows about. But hey, he had a hell of a career when he was here in Kansas City. So I have nothing but respect for Tyrann Mathieu and everything that he did here because he was fantastic. While
he was awesome. He was like one of my favorite players we've had absolutely. Just a great leader. He's a huge reason. Like, we kicked off our dynasty with him. So, huge reason for that first Super Bowl win.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm sad to see him retire. I hope he retires a Chief. So.
But Tyrann has played on, like, 10 teams.
He's played on the Cardinals, the Chiefs, and the Saints.
Yeah, that's like 10.
3.
Oh, my God.
I think, like, I could see him retiring a Cardinal. They drafted him, right? I could see him retiring a Chief because he won a Super Bowl with us. And then I can see him retiring in New Orleans because that's his home and that's his place. So, and he ended his career there. So, I don't know. I don't think it's totally out of the realm to retire a Chief.
No, I don't think so either.
People are saying we should be in the Chiefs Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, he got a Super Bowl ring with us. He didn't get a Super Bowl ring with anybody else. So that's right. Why I think, too, that he should just go ahead and retire Chief.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that was me being off topic because I was like, oh, my God, Tyrann Mathieu retired today. And that caught me off guard. And I definitely wasn't ready for that. So anyway,
no, it definitely caught me off guard, too.
Yes. Okay. So let's get into this last contract that happened. Man, finally, we knew Trey Smith was going to get signed eventually. And we did not know when. And we did not know how long it was going to go down to the wire. We knew that it was going to get done before camp, literally, right before camp. And yeah, we knew that it had to be done before camp. It was like there was non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it ain't happening until next year. And right, we know in true Brett Veach fashion, because the contract was signed on Tuesday. So if we know in true Brett Veach fashion, it was going to come down to the wire. Now, I will say I did set an alarm for myself on that Monday, and I was just like, okay, let me set my 5 a.m. alarm in case Brett Veach decides on Monday that he wants to go ahead and sign Trey Smith. But then I was also like, well, maybe I should set an 11 p.m. alarm because I also know how Brett Veach works. It is a very high possibility that he can sign him on Monday night at 11 p.m. But regardless, super excited.
Yeah, we were all expecting
I didn't know we was going to
wake up at midnight to the notification.
Exactly. Didn't know if it was going to come at 5 a.m. or 11 p.m. But what I did know is that the message was going to go through that he got signed. So no, Trey Smith.
I mean, it really came down to the wire. It was like 2 hours before.
I don't know if you heard in his press conference today how he said he was at the barbershop getting his haircut when he got home. He was like, yeah, I was in the barbershop chair, actually.
Getting out real quick.
He was like, and then I left as fast as I could, but I didn't speak. And I was like, yeah, you got to kind of make that very clear here in Kansas City that you didn't speed and do anything that you should not
have. Right. Yeah. But he's like, don't worry, I drove the speed limit.
Hilarious. Anyway, so the Chiefs went ahead and got Trey Smith locked in into a 4-year, $94 million deal, $46.75 million guaranteed, which is, ooh, holy moly.
Huge.
What a payday. Okay. So he got paid. Now, contract is good through the next 4 seasons. Cap hit next year, 2025. That's the year we're in right now, right? So it's cap hit.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are. His cap hit this year is going to be $27 million. Next year, $20 million, which is really nice. And then the following 2 years is $23.5, $23.5. And you know that there's probably going to be a little bit of restructuring in there somewhere. But the boy got paid more than deserved. I can't wait to get into this with Ashley when she hops on, but the payday was definitely there. I know him and Creed wanted to be together. They're best friends. So
Able
to see him and Creed Humphrey locked into the Chiefs together for the next 4 years is something great to see. So yeah, I'm really excited because our offensive line has been our biggest opportunity. Mm-hmm. So as long as we know that we can at least lock in at those two positions, everything else will slowly start falling into place. So talk to me about your thoughts about Trey getting signed and coming on and what that looks like and what that feels like, because so excited to have him here.
Well, as you know, I pushed for the hashtag pay Trey Smith for like the past year and a half. Because I was like, we cannot split up him and Creed. That's just not an option. Yeah. Plus, like, he's just, like we've said, he's such an outstanding guy. Like, he's so deserving of his payday. He works his tail off. He was a 6th-round pick. I mean, people had doubts about him coming into the league, and he's more than earned his payday. He's a Super Bowl champ. He's helped us with our dynasty. He protects QB1. He loves pancakes. He loves to, man, he mauls in the run game. He is so much fun to watch. So for me, I was like, he's more than deserving of this payday. So I was very excited. I was just waiting for that notification. Like, we all were just like on our phones, like, hello.
I know.
When are we going to get this done?
So. I'm telling you, I had a 5 a.m. alarm set and I had an 11 p.m. alarm set because you never know when Brett Veach is going to make the call.
And then it happened at like 1 p.m. We're like, okay.
And then it happened randomly in the middle of the day and I'm at work and I get like 1,000 text messages and I'm like, oh, shoot, it happened, didn't it? could not be more thrilled. Brett, I mean, this team is truly setting themselves up for the future and for success. And I think that we see that continuously with Brett Veach and the way that he kind of emulates what he wants this dynasty to be and how long he wants it to continue to go. So right. While we're on the topic of Trey Smith, I think that this is no better time than to bring in Miss Ashley Smith, big sister. Ashley's amazing, y'all. And I'm not sure if you guys are following her yet on any social platforms. Hi, Ashley. But this is a woman who is truly incredible. Not only does she have a brother that you guys love, she is a manager in the NFL, and she does so many things that incorporates women in sports. And I think if you learn anything about me and Lexi's platform, that's all we've pushed here. We just want to make sure that every woman's voice is heard, especially working in a field that is so male dominated, and we got to work just a little bit harder, and it's okay to say that. So, Miss Ashley, we are so happy to have you here with us today.
Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm excited to be with you.
So I know
my red lip memo. I love it. I always have a red lip on their show.
I love it.
Jody goes neutral. It's fine.
I know. It's just where it works best for me. I love
you. I feel like you two balance each other out. Lexi, there you go. Red, Jody's neutral. Like, that's
hopefully right.
It's how we work.
Listen, I was like, I'm going to try to do my hair today. And then the humidity, the heat just got, I was like, forget it.
So, I get it, girl.
I know you're not in Kansas City, but it is disgustingly hot here right now. And not only is it hot, it is humid.
Like 90% humidity.
Rain.
Oh, gosh.
So much rain. So it's like, I'm with my wig and I'm like, okay.
Forget it.
That's hilarious.
But no, we're super glad to have you on here. I don't know if you know this, but we are kicking off season 4 with you. So you are our first host of season 4. Me and Lexi, I will say this is our fourth season doing a podcast, and last year was the first year that they didn't win in the Super Bowl, but we like to say for the longest that's the reason why they continue to win, because we started our Super Bowl at the start. I mean, they got their first Dynasty Super Bowl when we first started going live.
After we started this, so.
You didn't too much. We just kind of were talking about how training camp just started today. The boys are up at St. Joe. George Karloftis got his big payday. What's happening next with Trent McDuffie? And we finished with your sibling, Trey Smith. So you had me right on time. So awesome. I want you to tell the people who you are.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Because I saw you on the piano earlier, and I was like, she played a piano too? Like,
yeah, that is
one of many talents.
Yeah, okay. So as you all said, I'm Ashley Smith. So I'm originally from Jackson, Tennessee. For those who aren't familiar with Jackson, it's an hour from Memphis, 2 from Nashville. Went to the University of Tennessee, so go Vols. Had an opportunity to work with Pat Summitt her last 3 years, and always thought that I would work in women's basketball. Like, that was my love. And then over time, and we'll get into it, but just with kind of Trey's recruitment, really it sparked my interest in football. And so, you know, had an opportunity to work in football. So everything from working with the University of Tennessee football program, did a training camp internship with the Chiefs scouting. And then now I currently serve as a manager of player engagement. So I'm at the NFL league office. And so my job is to work with NFL current players and former players on their personal and professional development. And then Jody, I know you kind of alluded to what I posted about the piano. So I am a praise and worship leader at a church here in New York. And then I'm currently in the process of learning to play the keyboard. So like I said,
that's awesome.
You guys are going to call me Ashley, but it may become Ashley Keys if I get really good.
That's right. Oh,
I love that. That's amazing.
Love that. That is such a great story. Oh my God. So you said you're out at the league office. Yep. So I know that you're dealing with all kind of, especially this time of year, where
gotta be chaotic.
All the rookies. You probably do. You deal a lot with like rookies as well coming in.
Yeah. So I'm working with everything from rookies that are just entering the league, whether they're international players or, you know, they're U.S. citizens who have gone from playing in college to now they're in the league. So we have a lot of programming for rookies just to make sure that they transition into the league and that we set them up for success. And then I also work with veterans. So it could be a second year, third year, or a guy who maybe he's in his 10th year. And then I also work with another population. So former players, we call them legends. So work with legends as well. Yeah, so work with them as well to make sure that they're getting the support and resources that they need to continue to thrive in the next chapter of their lives, which, you know, may or may not entail football. So yeah, kind of working with all these different populations, which never dull moment, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's and really you cool.
You definitely don't sleep.
I am often on airplanes. I often do not. Oh, man. It's so funny you say that. So I was in Nashville for a conference Thursday and Friday, and then I just ended up spending the weekend with a mentor slash friend. And so she was like, what time is your flight? And I was like, oh, it leaves Monday at 6 a.m. And she was like, okay, well then by the time you get to New York, you know, are you going to sleep? I was like, oh no, I'm going straight into the office.
Oh, God.
So I woke up at like 3 a.m. for this flight, and then, yeah, I just kind of went straight into it in the office. So, yeah, I don't sleep a lot, but
I bet you love what you do, right? And that's such a, like, it's such a different side of the NFL that we don't hear a lot about. So it's fun to hear someone that has a totally different experience than just, like, the everyday stuff you hear about that we all hear about, but not, you know? So it's cool to hear that. That's really awesome.
And there's so many, I mean, you mentioning as well that you have engagement with all the legends too. That's so many people.
I mean, where do you even begin?
That's so many people. So when I think of like the scope of people that you touch or that your team touches on a year in a year out basis, that's remarkable. That's a lot.
Yeah. Like, no, it is.
Lot. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is, but I love it. I'm definitely a people person and I'm all about impact. And I think for me, a lot of the work that I do is very personal because my brother is, you know, playing in the league. So whether he was once a rookie and now he's a vet, or even with some of his friends that are vets and going through whatever, you know, the different situations may be that guys are going through at that point, I also know at some point he is going to retire and move on from the NFL. So I think for me, it's like, one, I always love to connect with these guys and really learn what they're going through. And then from there, looking at how can I provide them with, you know, tools and resources and programs that will educate them on career opportunities. I tell them all the time, you're so talented. You're so much more than a football player. So how can I educate them on these different industries? How can I give them opportunities to engage with different professionals who can help advance their careers? And then lastly, want to make sure that when they're participating in our programs, that they're getting hands-on experience to be able to say, hey, you know what? I absolutely love doing XYZ, or you know what? I don't think this is for me. So it's really energizing for sure.
That's really cool because I feel like a lot of guys too, they feel so lost after their careers and so many of them only get so many years in the league, right? So it's not for long, the NFL. So I think it's really important. It's really important work that you guys do. Do you have like a big team of people that you work with or?
No.
No,
I think that was a valid question, right? Because when you look at our player engagement team at the NFL, we serve all 32 teams and there are two guys that are on these teams. But we have a team of five currently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, currently.
See, I was thinking it could be like a.
Yeah, and we're in the process of filling two positions. So right now it's just three of us that are servicing all these teams.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is so much fun. That is so much fun. No. Now I was okay. So you said that you were scout with the Chiefs. Was it when Tyrann Mathieu was here?
Yes. I think it might have been Tyrann's last year. So it was the same time when Trey went into training camp.
Okay.
So we kind of entered at the same time.
Right. And I asked that because
so cool.
What you do day in and day out, and he just announced his retirement today. So I'm like, oh, you're probably going to be helping whatever his journey is.
Yeah, for sure. So I actually saw that he retired today, as you mentioned. And, you know, so our team will, you know, reach out and kind of see how's his transition. What does that look like? What are things, you know, what's the support that he'll need from our office? Because, you know, all guys say this, whether they've had, you know, a really short stint in the NFL or maybe they've played and have had a long and fruitful career similar to Tyron's. But a lot of guys go through this period of just struggling with the transition, especially around their identity. Because maybe since they were like little tight, you know, they were playing football. So now for this next chapter of life, for that to be different, sometimes guys struggle with that. So we really try to make sure that we are reaching out and supporting them however they need it and just letting them know that, like, hey, we see you. We're here in any way that we can. But also, like, there's a level of excitement that you can walk into this new chapter just knowing that there are things that are ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, even my my brother-in-law, he used to be a punter in college. He was a punter for the University of Arkansas. Okay. And he kind of grew up with like Tommy Townsend and stuff. And he was really, really good, but he had this eye surgery his senior year that basically blinded him in one eye. Wow. So that like ended his any hope of like playing in the NFL or anything like that. So I think, yeah. And he has, I mean, it's taken him a while to kind of figure out what he really wants to do. So yeah, I think it's really important what you're doing and leading these guys in the right direction. And, you know, that's tough. That's a tough thing.
Yeah, definitely try. Definitely try.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump to the questions because there's just so many more things that I know.
Yes.
You've kind of like told us about your role and like the impact that not only you, but your small team of 3-5 that y'all do for all these players. So I think, you know, and you're in the New York area. So you have all of the sports teams up there versus here in Kansas City. Like, we don't have a WNBA team. We just got, you know, the women's soccer professional team and things of that nature. And so I know you feel the women in sports, women, the women movement. How does that help? Like, where does that take your mind? Like, how do you know that being a woman in sports and the impact that you're making, how does that help you just like in your day in and day out?
Yeah, I think that it always reminds me just to be the best that I can be in everything that I do, knowing that at one point there was a woman who sat in the seat that I currently occupy and that she opened the door for me. And so I think the same, my mindset is that if I can do my job and do it incredibly well and show that it doesn't matter that I'm a woman who's working with all these guys, that, you know, hopefully that will prove whenever, you know, if I am to move on and, you know, opportunities open up for someone else, that they'll say, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. We're going to go after the best candidate. And you know what? This woman is the best candidate. So we're going to hire her. I think I always just think about to some of my mentors and the women who have gone before me. So I, you know, would be remiss if I didn't shout out Coach Pat Summitt. Like, she's the person who really sparked my love for just working in sports. And also I would say Joan Cronin. So when I was a student at the University of Tennessee, Miss Joan was the women's athletics director. And she was the one who told me about, you know, the NCAA post-grad internship that I did after graduation, which my job was to plan national championships in different sports. Absolutely loved the internship.
Wow.
Yeah, I love the internship. I'm really fortunate that they extended it 3 times until I could become full-time. And that really was the start of me developing a career in sport. And so I honestly often think about the women who were role models and continue to be mentors to me. And then I think about, what can I do to play a part so that the next Ashley who comes after me, so that she'll have an opportunity, whether she wants to work in the NFL and player engagement or work in marketing, whatever that looks like. And so I just try to be my best and show that women, we have true impact and value, and that it doesn't matter that we're in a male dominated sport or industry. We can contribute. Yeah.
We hear just a whole different, we hear a whole different side of things in the podcast world too. So we totally get it, but we're trying to do our thing as well. So it can be tough out here, but You honestly have to not care and just do the best you can and show that women do belong in sports, like you said. So,
So I worked for the Dallas Cowboys for 7 seasons. I ran their merchandising division, and woo, it was something down in Dallas. But you're absolutely right. There, not a lot of women, but you know, how can I make sure that everybody who was around me, I was making sure that they were thriving and getting the tools and the resources they needed to be successful, because I knew I wasn't going to be there for them because I wanted to do more. But you're absolutely right, and I just love that. Sorry, go ahead, Lex. I know you're good.
No, yeah, I think it's just great. You're making such a positive impact, and we're all doing what we can, right, to kind of keep that going. So we know you are a woman in sports. You've been all over the place, from ESPYs, Super Bowls, NFL drafts, galas, etc. Of all of those, what has been your favorite event you've attended, and maybe why it's your favorite?
So I have been incredibly fortunate to have attended 3 Super Bowls, and my prayer is that there will be many more to come. But I think for me, especially, you know, just knowing my brother's story and his journey, there is nothing like being in the stands, watching your brother compete at the highest level of sport and entertainment. And, you know, every guy who's playing in the NFL, they dream of playing in a Super Bowl. And so I think that every time that I see Trey compete in one, it's a surreal moment. I always think about him as a little kid, and even, you know, when he was really young and got his first football scholarship, and having dealt with the blood clots, having dealt with losing our mother, making the promise that he would get his degree and play in the NFL. And then, you know, it's one thing, like, he did all that. He fulfilled his promises to her, but he never promised that he would play in the Super Bowl, let alone he's played in 3. He's won 2. So I think those moments will never get old.
Right. And like people say, it like, do you ever get tired of watching your team win Super Bowls? Like, huh?
Like on what planet?
Right. I don't think that will ever get old. No matter how stressed out I am during these games, like, it will never get old.
I want to ask the exact same question.
Are you?
Lexi.
Yeah, I don't know if you are. Maybe.
I think I am. Me and you share a brain.
Okay, you go. You go then. You go. You got it.
So I know that you're a busy woman and that you are running nonstop. Did you have a chance to watch the press conference today after training camp?
So a few people sent me clips. I got a chance to see it that way. I'll probably go back and just sit and watch the full thing. But I saw some clips from it.
So you mentioned like growing up, your mother, him achieving his goals. And he got super emotional today when he was talking about it, which had me crying in the back of my office at work.
I know. I was sitting here like,
okay. I know you're like very proud big sister. I wanted to know, like, what was your immediate reaction when you saw like clips of him just talking about like his achievements and how he's done it? You know, these were the goals we set as a family, and I was able to achieve them. Like, what was your immediate reaction to just some of the clips you saw?
Yeah, I think that immense pride. I'm incredibly proud of my brother. I think that he has, as I kind of mentioned just a little bit about the trials that have been in his life, I think it takes an incredibly strong person to be able to persevere through some of the things that he's been through, to keep the faith, you know, when sometimes it looked like the odds were stacked against him. And even in, you know, where he is today and having earned, you know, just the highest contract in the history of the NFL for a guard, he's still humble about it. Like, I'll never forget, I after he signed it, and, you know, things, it was just a lot going on that day, and phones were blowing up and whatnot, but I had a moment to catch my breath, and I was like, let me just call him and see what he's doing to celebrate. I'm like, hey, what are you doing to celebrate? And he's like, nothing. I'm off to go work out. He's like, I got something to prove now that this has happened. And then even for his celebratory dinner, he had Raisin Cane's, right?
So, oh my gosh.
He posted amazing on his Instagram. He was like, shout out to Cane's for the celebratory meal. And so he's he's a very humble guy. And it was also very touching, just because, as you said, our mother and father made a lot of sacrifices. You know, they put Trey and I in private school so that we would have a quality education. They always made sure that, you know, we went on vacations so that way we could just see different parts of the world and just get that exposure. I remember I would always say that like our mother was like our dream incubator. She's the person who would curl up in bed with her and say like, I want to be this when I grow up, or I want to do that. And she would always say, you know, as long as you have faith in God and work hard, then all those things are possible. And so, yeah, I think it's just one of those where it's like, it's so many emotions, right? I think it's being so proud of Trey. I think it's being excited for Trey. I think it's hurting for Trey as well. Like, you know, not having our mother physically here to see it and celebrate, you know, just all the great things that are happening. But also there's a level of peace and comfort knowing that I believe our mother sees everything. I believe that she's a part of just a host of angels that are encouraging us and cheering us on. So lots and lots and lots of different emotions. But I think the biggest thing is just a lot of pride, a lot of gratitude to God, and a lot of excitement for what he has in store for the future.
And you can just tell he's one of those guys that just because he got paid, he's not just going to like start slacking off or whatever it is. Like you said, he went right to the gym and, you know, and I think it was really cool to hear him say too, just how much pride he has in playing for this organization and this city, and just how much he wanted to be here, I think is really, really cool to hear. And obviously, why wouldn't you? You're part of a dynasty, and of course you want to be here. But like, it's just really cool. He just seems like such a great guy. And Jody and I did meet him last year.
I saw him on the
Instagram. Yeah.
So
he was such a nice guy. He and Creed both are like so humble and so kind. So
yeah, they are. And that's the thing that I love about those guys is like, when you look at it, you know, so they're getting ready to start year 5, and you know, they've played in 3 Super Bowls, they've won 2, but they're so down to earth, so kind, so humble, always offering a willingness to help. Like, I'll never forget when they went to church and someone's car was like stuck in the snow. They're just great guys.
We saw that.
That was the funniest. I was like, I would not expect anything different from these two. I
know.
I expect them to be out here pushing somebody's car out the snow or shoveling somebody's driveway. I was not surprised at all.
Just that. Outstanding citizens, really. I have one question I want to ask about the Super Bowl loss, because I know the victories are great. How did he handle, because I know all the talk that happened after, and the Eagles started celebrating with 3 minutes left or whatever it was. And, you know, it was a painful loss. It wasn't a normal loss. It was a painful loss. How did he handle that? And how did you kind of help him handle that? Because I'm sure he needed people to rely on around him.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he was disappointed. I don't think anyone thought that the game would play out the way that it did. Obviously, you know, both teams were incredible team. So it definitely could have gone either way, a blowout. I don't think anyone anticipated that. So he was frustrated because he's a fierce competitor. He never wants to lose, especially on that stage.
Right.
But I think that it motivated him to get back to work. You know, obviously there was a lot on the line with like being able to three-peat and things of that nature. But I think that for him, he always likes to say, like, how can I find the life lesson from the good and the bad? And so obviously this Super Bowl didn't go the way that he wanted, but it was just, it's now going to be a source of motivation, right? I think it left a bad taste in his mouth as well as his teammates. And so I think there will be a new level of hunger, drive, and determination to get back to the Super Bowl and redeem themselves. And I think for me, how did I support him? I think kind of, you know, that night wanted to just give him, you know, kind of his space just to kind of process and work through his thoughts and feelings and emotions and things of that nature. And I think it's just been a matter of just encouraging him and supporting him, especially like as he was, you know, preparing his mind for training camp. As you all know, they go to St. Joe's, and St. Joe's is kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like I worked at training camp there, so I'm familiar with St. Joe's. And so I think it's just like, hey, let's bounce back from it and allow people to see who you guys are. And so I think, like I said, he's just very motivated. And I think for me, it's always, I try to listen first and just whether he's frustrated and wants to get that out. And then there are moments where I'm like, okay, let me get into big sister slash honorary mommy mode and try to encourage him and, you know, things of that nature. So I think it was a lot of like just kind of seeing where he was and then seeing what he needed and trying to do my best as a big sister to just give him that love and support.
Yeah. I love you guys' story so much. And it reminds me so much of me and my sister. Me and my sister are 11 years apart, and I lost my mother in 2014. And she always tries to mama sister me all the time. So I love it. She's definitely my backbone. And yeah. I can call her at the drop of the time for anything. And it's just great that you guys have that relationship because it reminds me so much of me and my big sister, too. So I love it. So I do want to kind of take it back to your childhood a little bit. So you grew up with her. I'm like, you grew up with this man. You had to play with him outside in the dirt. You guys did all of the things, right?
Yeah.
When did you realize, like, you know what? He's talented. Like,
like he's not just my little brother. He actually has potential.
Yeah. To make it to the NFL. And you said that, you know, I know that he went to Tennessee, go bold, as you say. Big Eric Berry fan over here. Loved him.
I love you, D.
So we love him. So when did you realize, like, okay, you know what? Maybe there's something there. And, like, what did that journey look like from there of let's get him there?
Yeah, so I'll never forget. I was living in Indianapolis because at the time I was working at the NCAA. And my parents, so it was my mom, my dad, and my brother, they called me and they're like, Ashley, you'll never guess what happened. I'm like, what? And they had taken my brother to Ole Miss to participate in a football camp. And so they said that at the end of the camp, Coach Freeze asked to meet with them. So, you know, my parents, my brother, they go into his office and he's like, you know, we would like to offer Trey a full ride to the University of Mississippi.
Wow.
Trey's in, Trey is an eighth grade. So my mom and my brother start laughing. They're like, what? And my dad is just sitting there stoic. And he's like, no, we're serious. And so they called
eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Yeah.
Wait. So how big was he in eighth grade?
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely had height on him. I can't remember the specifics, but like he definitely was, you know, starting to get into his own as far as you know, just being a taller guy and a stockier guy. And so then from there, so my parents started taking him to camps all over the country. So then, and then the offers were just raining in. So it was like Ole Miss was the first, then Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State, so on and so forth. And I don't know if you all know this, but when Trey graduated high school, he was ESPN, so they do like the top 300. He was their number one recruit in the country. So even when he announced that he was going to Tennessee, ESPN live streamed it. I have a picture of Times Square, and it's like where Good Morning America has a studio. It's scrolling, and it says like ESPN's number one recruit, Trey Smith, commits to the University of Tennessee. Like it was, it was a crazy thing.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just like, I love this.
That's amazing.
And I think it was like for him to do all of that. Like I said, eighth grade was when the initial offer came. And so things are really exciting and they're moving in the right direction. And then fast forward to his sophomore year, we lose our mother unexpectedly. So I think for Trey to, you know, be committed and stay focused even in the midst of that, because the grief was really intense. And Jody, you mentioned that you've lost your mother, which I'm sorry about your loss. But I think with that, you understand what that looks like. I remember Trey and I both having moments, especially during that first year, of feeling that like we were going to just pass out, because just coming to the realization that your mother, you know, for us, our best friend, was no longer going to be physically here for us to hug, for us to call her, things of that nature. And so he would say how sometimes, you know, he would be working out and would just get these excruciating headaches or almost feel like he was going to pass out at the realization of, you know, what our situation was. So even in the midst of all of that, and obviously it was getting crazy, you know, a lot of college coaches were coming to the high school and, you know, a lot of people were coming around, and it was getting, you know, pretty wild and kind of crazy just with the excitement around Trey, but for him to stay focused and committed.
That can be very overwhelming too, with all of that weighing on your shoulders at the same time.
Yeah. And he went to college at 17. So he was a young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just a lot of different things it was very exciting for sure. But there was a lot of weight and responsibility and pressure as well.
Absolutely. Well, he's managed it very well. And it's very, very respectable. So.
And, and
it just makes it that much better that he's had all this success to follow, you know, like.
For sure.
Absolutely. Just head down and you stay focused. And that's like exactly what I get from him. He's like, I know these are my goals. This is what I want to go after. I can't let these distractions get in the way. I already have had this adversity come into my life and I just need to stay focused and stay on track. And that's absolutely what I get from him. And you not only see it, just kind of in his day to day, you see it on the field too. Like, you see how he balances his personal and his work very well. And he seems so level-headed. And I think that I'll say this too. Like, the one thing I love about the Kansas City Chiefs is I love our organization. I think that this is one of the best organizations in the NFL. Just from a standpoint of the way that they carry themselves. They're a world-class organization and how they handle their players and their employees and things of that nature. So, being able to come into a culture that is a great fit for you too, you know, you don't have the chaos of, are we going to sign our players or are we going to suspend this guy or whatever. You don't really have that here. So I love that it feels almost like a great fit for him being here. And hopefully he's here for the rest of his life.
I think it's been a great fit for sure. You know, we absolutely love Coach Reed and Brett Veach and even, you know, Mr. Hunt, like he's been great, you know, and even when I look at so many people on the support staff that, you know, every time when I come to Kansas City, even I'm being embraced, right? And it's like, I'm not contributing to the wins and losses of the team. And so, well, more so the wins, right? Because we don't want anyone contributing. Yeah, there's just such a family feel an atmosphere with the Chiefs. And so I'm just so grateful to God that he's there another 4 years and, you know, excited to see what happens and, you know, And so I just, it's just a blessing. And I think it's, you know, even I remember the draft and that was like an awful experience. You know, Trey is first, second round talent doesn't go until pick number 226 in the sixth round. Right. So there are only seven rounds. So he was close to not even getting drafted, but, you know, God just worked it out to where he could be with the Chiefs and, you know, have some Super Bowl wins or some rings. And now, you know, he has this life-changing contract. So it's all worked itself out.
I mean, and you never know like what can happen in those later rounds. I mean, look at Tom Brady where he was drafted. Like,
exactly. He was in the
round. I think Jason Kelsey was like round six as well. So it doesn't matter. It's just, Brock Purdy. It's just what you make of it. So I think he's absolutely made the best of it. And he like is the perfect fit for our organization. So
I love it.
Like we've been saying, I'm like trying to figure out where we are in these questions. We kind of just are scattering over here.
I got one. So,
okay, go for it.
Back to childhood. That's where I like to stay at. You guys are just great.
Oh, thanks.
So grew up in Tennessee.
I gotta get my dog really quick. One sec.
Grew up in Tennessee.
Yep.
Who was your favorite NFL team?
Yeah. So with us being Tennessee kids, it was the Titans. Yeah. It was the Titans. So I remember I had like the little Eddie George. I think he was like number 27. When he played for the Titans. So I had like my little Eddie George Titans jersey, and we would be so excited on Sundays to watch him and Steve McNair and whatnot. And so,
Steve McNair was just so great, you know, and I knew that was going to be your answer. And I was like, I know she's not going to say cheese because we weren't good then. Listen, I was at Arrowhead out in the cold when we weren't great, okay? Like, I've been that Chiefs fan for a very long time, but I knew you were going to say Tennessee, and that's an okay answer.
Okay, so you said Titans.
I did, yeah. I said the Titans.
And I'm sure you go home all the time.
I don't have any beef with the Titans, so it's fine.
I'm sure you guys go home all the time, and they're building, like, that brand new stadium there, so it's like, it's going to be, well, and you work with player engagement, so I'm sure you have to deal with whatever comes with that too, but sure. They're getting a brand new stadium. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be great to go for games. I mean, mm-hmm. The games might not be fun to watch, but it's going to be so great to go and just see like how that's evolving. And, you know, in Kansas City, that's one of our biggest things right now. Are we getting a brand new stadium, or are we moving to Kansas, or are we staying in Missouri?
Oh, my goodness. The ever-long debate.
Would I like to see a brand new shiny stadium? Of course, because it seems like that's how the NFL is evolving right now. But do I love old school Arrowhead? Every ounce of me loves old school Arrowhead. So
I'm also a huge fan of, like, playing outside and not in a dome. Like, I hate a dome. I love a snow game, you know? So I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. Sundays are brutal.
So I'm like the old school football. Like I love
you're hardcore. You're one of those where it's like, because it's so funny because obviously, you know, like, the Bills are building a new stadium and they're not going to cover it, and it's just
right.
Like, oh my gosh! But I mean, I get it. It's a competitive advantage for them because a lot of teams aren't used to that. But I'm like,
well, I say, look at our game against the Dolphins a few years ago in the playoffs where it was negative.
I was there. Oh my god!
We were there. They didn't stand a chance. You know?
We were there.
Oh, we were there.
Oh,
I go to every game.
I lasted until the third quarter, and then I was over it.
Like, okay. You all recovered well. Like, people were losing limbs.
Oh.
Not because of that.
The only thing open was my eyes, and my eyelashes were, like, frozen.
Girl, we tailgated, girl.
Yeah, y'all are hardcore. Okay.
I did not tailgate. I was like, I'm sitting in my car in the warmth until we go in.
We tailgated, but I've been doing this for a very long time. We got the 10th. The space heaters
got a good setup.
We got a good setup, so I knew how not to freeze every.
But yes, so as you can tell, we are diehard.
My goodness.
So let me ask you just a little bit more about yourself. So, like, what are some of your personal goals? Like, what are some of your impact you're making not only on the NFL but just in people's lives in general, whether you're at work or not at work, right? What are some of your personal goals and what you would like to do next and where you see your journey or your career even taking this next leap to?
Yeah, I think from a work perspective, you know, always want to push the needle. And with the work that I'm doing, how can I make it bigger? How can I make it better? You know, because that'll lead to a greater impact. Honestly, I love getting on podcasts. I love speaking on panels. Even I have an opportunity to go and do keynote for different organizations, because I just think that having an opportunity to share my story and the trials and the triumphs of my story with the hope that it will encourage and inspire someone else to, you know, just go after what they want in life, whether it's working in sport or if it's, you know, getting involved in music and singing, whatever that looks like, just reminding people that it's not too late to go after whatever your dream may be. So I think anytime that I can share my story and help people, that's something of interest and importance too. I would probably say, you know, big picture, eventually would like to have a foundation, and really I'm big on, you know, education for the youth and empowering the youth. And I just think too that, you know, anytime that there's a chance to just encourage and inspire people and empower them, that's where my heart beats. I think too, sometimes people say, well, 10 years now, where do you want to be? I'm more so just kind of, you know, I try to do the best that I can with the opportunity that I have at the moment. And as opportunities come about, then I'm open and receptive to what that looks like. So I used to be like, oh, I want to be this when I grow up. And now I'm kind of like, hey, I'm just open as, you know, I go about my day to day and year to year and kind of see what that looks like. But hopefully that kind of gives like a well-rounded picture of where my head is.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, times are changing. And some of the things that I think me and Lexi both can attest to this, some of the things that we thought we wanted to do, I'm like, I don't know if I want to. I've been in leadership for so long.
And
I'm like, I don't know if I want to go back into leadership. I kind of like being in my own little not taking on additional responsibilities. And if I want to travel, I want to travel. And if I want to go see friends, I want to go see friends. So,
like you said, the world is just so different now. And
for
it's
sure.
ever changing, ever evolving, and there's so much opportunity out there. So, if you would have told me 5 years ago I'd be doing a Chiefs podcast, I'd be like, huh? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not a podcaster, but here we are four seasons later.
We have two podcasts now.
Yeah, now we have two. So
okay.
Alexa.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly, I would have never thought.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Like I'm sure the three of us can all think about like when we were little girls and we said we wanted to be this, and our lives probably look a lot different from that. Like even for me, as
I thought I wanted to be an actress. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And even for me, I always thought my career was going to be in women's basketball, and I'm in football, you know? So it's kind of mm-hmm. one of those where you just never know where life will take you. And so I think as a result, I've just learned to be a little more open to opportunities that may come my way, and not to get so rigid and like, oh, 10 years is going to look like this. Like just kind of,
yeah.
Just figure it out. As
I'll be like, if I'm not here in 7 years, well, then I failed. Well, no, that's not.
So, right. Exactly. Oh,
well, do you have any like fun facts or stories about you and Trey, either growing up or just in general, any kind of fun things you want to share about you and Trey?
Yeah. So I guess one would be at one point I was bigger than Trey. And so as a result, we would kind of like fight. We would go to our parents in our parents' room. And we would kind of like wrestle a little bit. And there was one time, I can't remember how old he was. He was fairly young, and he pinned me down, and I was like, no more. I'm good. Like, I'm tapping out for good. Another fun fact, I said Trey gets his toughness from me. So, you know, I'm 9 years older, and sometimes when my parents would be up in the living room, I would sneak into their room, and they had like this little donut that Trey would lay on when he was a baby. So I would like pick him up. I'd toss him in the air. Dropped him twice.
No.
And my dad was like, if you don't stop dropping my son, major problems. So I like to credit like his toughness, maybe the big head result of me, which we both the Smith siblings, we have big heads, but hey.
Does that speak to like why he likes getting hit? Yeah.
Exactly. That's how he can take it so well.
Yeah. He's like, I grew up like this. This is nothing.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's like, oh, my sister was already like preparing me for this back when
he was bullying me as a baby. It's fine.
Right. My dads are like, you're this tall.
Exactly. How tall is he? Like 6'6"?
Yeah, he's 6'6".
Okay. And what are you like, 5'10"?
Girl, no, give me my height. I'm 5'6".
Okay, girl. You can't be no bigger than 5'7".
So. I mean, he makes me look like I'm 5'2". When I'll look at him and I'm like, goodness, like
I know when I first saw him in Creed in person, I was like,
God. They are massive. Like I have moments where I'm like, oh my goodness, like you guys are huge.
I knew you were big, but it doesn't really process until you see it in person and you're like, oh, you're huge. Like
exactly. And then okay, so two more fun facts I'll give you. So Trey can sing. He's a really good singer. He's an even better cook. That boy can throw down in the kitchen.
Okay.
He's phenomenal.
I love to cook, so I love that.
Yeah. And the last one.
I can't do either. So
that's so funny. And then I'll give you a third. I'll give you a bonus. I'll give you a third. And he's going to be a
bonus.
Like,
I love it.
In the world, did you say this? He is an incredible impersonator. Like, he can impersonate teammates and, you know, different people and whatnot. And it is absolutely hilarious. And
I love that.
So, yeah, he has a great sense of humor.
He was in that State Farm commercial, right? Recently with Patrick.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Though, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't released.
Yeah. Okay. Hasn't released yet. But you also know that he was in the Chiefs Hallmark movie last year.
Yeah.
So he's great at acting. Like sometimes I'm like, dude, is there anything that you're not good at? Like,
right.
Who are you? You
take know, some for the rest of us.
Right. No,
exactly. I'm glad you said
it. You can sing too. I heard you singing too. So you can sing too.
Yeah.
So and play piano. Apparently.
Ashley Keys. I'm like, so both of y'all can sing. So we got to get y'all somehow singing.
We might have maybe a future there. Maybe there's a future there.
Let's do it.
I love that. That is so funny. And I love that he could cook and not going to Cane's every day.
Right.
So that's great to know as well. One question that I have for you, what are like, now I'm making you get out of work mode into, you know, big sister Chiefs fan mode.
Yeah.
What are your expectations for the team this year? And what do you want to see from this Chiefs team this year?
Yeah, I mean, I know that these guys work so hard, so I would love to see them redeem themselves and get back to the Super Bowl and win it. Win it all. You know, and it's so interesting.
And dominate it, man. Dominate it.
Exactly. Yeah, like I saw there's a documentary coming out about just, you know, this past season and, you know, something that Pat said, it really just caught my attention because I think because it's true. And he said, you know, for the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl, that's not the accomplishment, it's winning it. And so the fact that they didn't win it last year, you know, it was a fail. And for them, it wasn't the season that they would have liked to have had. And so I think I would love to see them just win it all and be able to just have a redemption story because these guys work so hard and the fans, you know, the Chiefs have incredible fans that are so loyal. And as you all mentioned, we'll sit out in like freezing and negative degree weather.
What's wrong with us? Crazy.
I'm not mentally right.
Yeah, exactly. So we'd just love to see that happen for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
I am thrilled for this documentary that's getting ready to come out.
Me too. August 14th.
Oh my goodness. It's going to be so good. And just like that 1 minute clip that they put out. And I was just like, yeah.
I know.
He said, the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. Let's be the world's team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And Andy Reid's crying. I'm like, okay, so I need to just make sure that I am mentally prepared.
Yep.
Because y'all gonna have me crying. Y'all gonna have me upset.
Oh yeah, if Andy Reid's crying, I'm gonna be a mess.
And all the episodes will be available. So I'm pretty sure I'm probably gonna stay up and binge watch the whole thing.
Yeah, 100%. For sure.
I'm going to get some popcorn and be like, okay, let's settle in.
I'll like live tweet it. Yeah.
I'm going to watch on a Sunday and be like, all right, I'm locked in for the whole day. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be so good. And you know, people are already sick of the Chiefs. I don't know if you know this. People are sick.
Of course.
I mean,
it's rigged for us. Everything's rigged.
We've already had the Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Now we're getting this documentary. Yeah. And then we already have every single season they do. Oh my God, Lexi, what's called YouTube?
Franchise.
The franchise, right? So it's like there's already so much Chiefs content that is being pushed out every single year. And now we do this. And I'm like, yes. And then Patrick
Moore. More.
The first season it launched, like, people hate us, but I love every single moment of it. And give me all of
this. I'm just along for the ride. I'm here to appreciate every single moment of this dynasty because this is so rare what we're living through. And I mean, couldn't ask for anything better. So
I can't wait. Sign me up.
Insane.
All right. So to end this on a fun question with you. We've all seen the content with Taylor Swift, like after the new championship game and all that kind of stuff. So I just want to know your experience with her. We've heard nothing but good things, of course, but just your experience with her in the football world and seeing like that side of her, that's got to be kind of fun. So
So I'll share a fun little Taylor Swift story. So it was after the very first game of last season. And, you know, I had two of my best friends that were with me. And then my brother had, our cousin was with us. And then I think he maybe had like two of his friends. And so, you know, after the game, he said, hey, Travis is having, you know, a little hang. Would you all want to go? And my friends are like, oh, we're kind of tired. Like, I think we'll sit this one out. My cousin and my brother's two friends are like, oh, no, we're going. So then I get my friends and I'm like, are you all sure you don't want to go? They're like, oh, we're just so tired. Da, da, da. And I was like, nope, you all are going. I was like, not every day that, you know, you get these type experiences. Like, it's not every day that you're in Kansas City. Like, let's just go. We go back to Trey's and we're, you know, we like order food and whatnot. And then everyone's like, okay, let's shower, get ready to go. And so we get out of Trey's place a little bit later than intended, but you know, we get there nevertheless. And so we get into the parking garage, go into the venue, and I'm looking because there's like nobody in there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I told my friends, like, come it's going to be so fun. And there's no one here. So then I'm kind of like, all right, well, we'll just kind of see how Trey maneuvers this. And he walks over to an area and there's Travis. So like, you know, they hug, kind of dap it up, whatever. And so then all of a sudden this woman stands up and she's like, hi, I'm Taylor. So you know, shook her hand, said my name. And then she's like, oh, would you girls want to go, you know, just go have a drink. And so my friends, you know, that night prior to getting to the venue, were like, yeah, we're not drinking. Like, we're just going to kind of chill. We're like, oh, yeah, we can have a drink. Like, let's, oh, yeah. Let's go. So
we make a little excuse for that.
So we go and it's like, it's me, Taylor, and then two of my friends. And we ended up just like talking to her for a couple hours at the bar while the guys talked and did their thing. And I think the thing that struck me the most about Taylor, like, let's be real. So I'll tell you all, I absolutely love Beyonce. That's like,
I saw you at Cowboy Carter, girl. Me
yes,
too.
Yes, that is yes, that is.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah. So, and let's be real about it. Like, even with the tour that both ladies put on last year, Taylor is the most popular celebrity in the world.
Yeah.
I felt like, okay, for this woman, she could be doing anything on her night, but she's taking this time to sit and right. talk with my friends. And not only that, but like, it was so easy. Like, I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to Taylor Swift. Like, I thought that I felt like I was talking to one of my friends.
Right.
And so I just felt for her to be so kind and down to earth. In spite of like who she is and what she's accomplished, when I tell you, I gained so much respect for Taylor because she didn't have to be that way. And, you know, right. I've been, you know, just kind of the work that I do have had a chance to just come in contact and work with a lot of celebrities. And, you know, sometimes you never know what you're going to experience. And I will say this, it wasn't even like, oh, there was just this one moment or this one night and she was kind. You know, I'd seen her, you know, throughout the season as she was coming to support Travis and the guys. And every time she was incredibly kind and gracious, you know, I often would see her taking pictures with fans and whatnot. And so she's just a class act. And yeah. I just respect her. You know, you, whether you like her music or not, you have to respect who she is and,
right.
and the way that she has perfected her craft. But more importantly, I respect her as a person and who she is when, you know, when she's behind closed doors and she's just in intimate settings, because she's just so kind and gracious. And I think it's just a great reminder to all of us that no matter who we become, what we accomplish in life, just to always be kind to people.
Just treat people well, right?
And yeah.
That's what everyone says about her. And I mean, yeah, it's really yeah. cool. And I think seeing her like go to Tight End University and like sing for yeah, them, she exactly. totally didn't have to do that. Like, that's really, really cool of her to do.
Yeah.
And, I loved all the wags from the other teams being like, oh, why didn't my like boyfriend choose to be a tight end, or why didn't, you know, why is my husband a defensive end? Like, I think that's yeah. hilarious. But yeah, no, that's really cool to hear. And I appreciate you sharing that story.
And a lot of people say that they always talk about her character and how great of a human being she is. And you always yeah. see all the things she's doing with other foundations and her own, and just how she gives back to communities and all of these great things. So you can definitely tell that she has like a pure heart and a mm-hmm. lot of
human. I mean, this was like yeah. 10 years ago, but my next door neighbor that I grew up with, she's a lot younger than I was. I used to babysit her, but she actually passed away from a brain tumor, but she was a huge, huge Taylor Swift fan.
Okay.
And her like make-a-wish was to meet her, but she wasn't going to live long enough or be healthy enough to do that. Yeah. So Taylor made sure to like Skype her and sent her all this really cool merchandise and all this signed God. Stuff and just like took time out of her busy life to do that. Just even for my neighbor, I'm like, that's so cool. That yeah. was that. Way before she was a part of the Chiefs or anything. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's very cool.
She is.
Yeah. She's just yeah. a good person. Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
So Ashley, you talked about how your goal is to start your own foundation. Trey has a foundation, correct?
So we're in the process of getting that going.
Okay.
And it'll probably end up being like a family foundation, but we're in the process of
very cool
figuring things out. Yeah.
When you guys figure that out, please let us know, because that is something that we love to support. We try to support yeah. every single player, especially in that way, and just yeah. promote with our platform. Like, we're blessed to have our platform. So we promote as much as we can, because we just like to get the word out there for people that there is always someone somewhere that will help do whatever right. it is.
That's amazing. Thank you.
And you can even come back on our show and talk about it if you'd like, or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'd love to. I've enjoyed my night with you ladies.
Oh, good. I'm glad. We've enjoyed it too.
We bring everybody. We bring sisters, wives,
yes,
husbands, mamas. We usually have everybody on here. So it's always great to hear
yes,
the woman's side of
yes, we love it.
An athlete, because we know that you guys are putting in just as much work as they are out behind the scenes.
Too. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. Like that. Well, please tell the people where to find you, how to follow you, what you have coming up, what games are you coming to? Are you going to be at the home opener? Are you going to Brazil? Yeah. Tell the people how they can tap in with you, because your story is so great and it needs to be explained more than just today. People need to just know what's going on in your life, because you're a very bright, positive light, and I'm so glad that you were able to join me and Lexi today. So
I appreciate you all having me. This has been just an awesome way to you know, kind of spend my night, you know, talking with you ladies and whatnot. And so I would say people can find me a number of ways. They can find me on LinkedIn, and if you're interested in having me, whether it's being on a panel or coming to speak, please don't hesitate to send me a DM. That's what you all did, and here we are. And always happy to do that. I would also say I'm on Instagram. So my Instagram is at @IamEAshleySmith. And people may be wondering what the E is for. My real name is Elizabeth. So, So threw that in there. But people can definitely find me there. And again, like, reach out. I'm happy to, have conversation and connect. And then as far as with the season, so I typically like to hit, all the home games or as many as I can. And then as far as the season opener, I will be in Brazil. Submitted my visa. Yeah, submitted the paperwork for my visa yesterday. So
nice. Yeah.
My visa just came back approved, so I will
see you. Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you there.
Yeah, it was a hassle. But we figured it out. Yeah. But like, we can't see your ears. I was like, I don't know how to put it back even further.
Yeah, so that is so funny. So I had to like resubmit my passport picture because I was like holding it a little bit. And they're like, we can see your fingers.
Oh my gosh.
Dear God. So I had to take my passport to work yesterday and like make a copy and all that. But I'm like, let me get this done.
Figure this out. Yeah.
Figure about it. Yeah, exactly.
As long as you bought your flight though, because the flight are skyrocketing. So I just decided like 2 weeks ago I was going.
Okay.
So
you probably have more flight options out of New York though too.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You probably have a direct. I got to connect out of Atlanta. So
Okay. So I'm a Delta girl.
And that's why I'm going through Atlanta.
I figured. When you said Atlanta, I'm like, oh yeah, she's.
Yeah, I'm taking a Delta flight, but it's worth it. I've always wanted to do an international game for the Chiefs. I was able to go to the Super Bowl in Vegas. So I was like, it's time to do an international game. And who knows? I know we'll have more after this year, but I'm like,
They're gonna keep pushing these international games on.
And they're definitely gonna have the Chiefs.
I definitely want to go to one eventually. I don't know when, but
I think I'll love it.
Maybe next year. Maybe next season.
Yeah,
I know. Listen. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This was
I loved it.
This is awesome. Yes, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. And
let us know when you come to Arrowhead because we tailgate.
Yeah,
always. Great barbecue, great food, which I know you've already kind of experienced it with him being here for so many years.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've done a true tailgate yet. So you got to come and experience
it. Yeah. So I've been I would love to tailgate with you ladies for sure. So I'll keep you posted on when I'm in town.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us. Again, we truly appreciate you. Me and Lexi are just going to wrap up and you don't have to hang out here with us because we're going to probably keep yapping for a little bit longer, but we are so blessed to have you. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, ladies. Have a great one.
All right. You too.
Have a good night.
Bye.
She's so sweet.
Oh, she's awesome. I love that. Yeah, that was really cool.
And there was just so many great things about her and Trey and just
great humans.
The way they grew up. They're just great people.
Great people.
Just good, genuine.
We need more of that.
Yeah. Like glad he's here, and hopefully they are here forever. We know we at least got him for the next 4 years, though.
But exactly.
Yeah. Are we doing an episode here next week?
I think we're going to try, but we might have to do Monday because my birthday is next Tuesday. Right, and right, I'm also have some stuff going on. So, but so that being said, we are going to try to do Monday, I think.
So our Tuesday show next week might be next Monday. So we'll definitely put the notifications out there for y'all. However, tomorrow we will be on Arrowhead Addict at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are going to dive into more contract talk. We're going to get into training camp day one and day two, what everybody's looking like. There's been all kind of like stories and everything coming out about Josh Simmons and No Juwan Taylor and Rashi Rice and exactly like
already the dramatics.
All of it tomorrow, y'all. We're going to get into all of it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait. So if you are listening, thank you for being here. Please make sure you go like this episode right now on YouTube. If you are on Twitter, make sure you are retweeting or X, whatever platform you kids call it. Please make sure that you are retweeting and say how much you love the episode and how amazing Ashley was, because she was fantastic.
Awesome.
Just
like
this episode on
YouTube. And go follow Ashley on everything as well.
Literally go follow her on everything. We tagged her on our Kingdoms Queens page on Instagram and on Twitter.
And yeah.
Go follow her. Go follow her. And then go listen to her singing on her page and playing her
right.
Page. Like, oh my gosh, she's so talented.
People are so talented.
I'm like, what do you mean? You and Trey can sing. Oh, okay. Right. So we need to make y'all sing this year. Love that. Thank you for the nugget. That was great.
Got it.
Yes. So other than that, thank y'all for being here with us. Make sure you're following Kingdoms Queens on all platforms. Make sure you're following me and Lexi at our hashtags below on all platforms. And other than that, we will see y'all tomorrow on Arrowhead Addict or next Monday here.
Yes.
Bye.
Love y'all. Bye.